주변에 대학에서 주변에 나, 다 같이 제림을 세기, 아마도리아, 납치를 혹시 갈는 거로서네. 근데, 아, 저기, 대바디, 갈지고 어렸을 동아, 대바디기 어레, 동아디기 어마레스. 기사다, 대화, 대바인상은 대비되, 엔세테레 디기, 두에 디기, 담, 엔케와 침마 디기, 대라, 엔응원도 다 살바다. 탐지 김복고 맞춰서 토벌 대바 나신 시간도 내 기회 저게 마 남이 대셔봐 들이야 근데 저 저기 야보시네 제는 어떻게 되냐면 제가 이나 근데 제가 되게 저기 야보도 두 그레스 대바나 두 그레스지 예자다 되니기 냠소리에 나기 림바지 안된 방에 아니 지금 현지에도 나셔서 상황지마 시인스 아니 저아지 야보시네 러시에서지 어디 쉬어야 하고 드니게 어서 교회 마시 쉬소아
Good afternoon. This morning, we looked at how we all want to be happy. We want to be free of all problems, suffering, and difficulty. And Lama Tsongkhapa presents here that through relying on our spiritual teacher, our virtuous friend, not only can we, our happiness in this life be enhanced, but we can achieve the happiness of future excellent rebirths. And furthermore, by relying on our spiritual teacher, we can progress towards and eventually attain liberation from the sufferings of samsara, freedom from samsara. And in fact, by relying on our spiritual teacher, we can progress even beyond that to attain the happiness of enlightenment, where we can have the greatest impact on others too. All of this can come about independence on relying on our spiritual teacher. And in this interdependent relationship, Lama Tsongkhapa concluded that verse by saying that he will compose a brief text for us with all the steps we need to train in to radically transform our mind. And from our side, we need to listen well and apply what he guides to our own mind.
And this song be lema, tagi le to be, David is a dirani bece, yse gundo kela mabena, dele luberkua shenga yus.
The second verse. Through extensive wholesome karma, you have successfully achieved this excellent life of freedom. Now that you've gained such a life, if you do not strive in virtue every day and each night, there can be no greater betrayal. The meaning of this verse is that in order to follow the advice that Lama Tsongkhapa is giving, which is to, in brief, eradicate our mind from the afflictions, to free our mind from the afflictions through cultivating strong, wholesome minds, we need a supreme basis, an excellent rebirth.
And then,
There are a wide number of different physical bases or bodies that beings dwell in. So what we're most familiar with is what we abide in this life, that of a human being. But what the other type we can see are those of animals, whether those living in the ocean, those living on the earth, under the earth, or primarily in the sky. All these various types of physical bases that comprise the animal kingdom, what marks them out as being particularly different from human beings is not so much the various physical forms, but their very limited intelligence, to the extent that one can call them quite stupid. Because animals, they can only largely endure problems that they experience, and they can try to seek out sufficient food to eat. But there's not too much more that they can do. And that's not largely due to limitations in their body, but primarily in their mind. Whereas compared to them, human beings, our bodies are quite limited, but our intelligence, this is what makes us stand out as remarkable. As human beings, with this intelligence, we can not only experience and endure suffering, but we can seek out the causes of why we are suffering and try to do something about it, seek methods to eradicate suffering. And it's this intelligence that we have that makes this human rebirth so remarkable. And the reason why we have this physical basis, this human rebirth, isn't by luck or by chance, but it came about independent on causes. The physical basis or the body, the life that beings have, or the body that beings have achieved, comes about independence on causes. And causes, or karma, are comprised of two categories, those which are virtuous or wholesome and those which are non-virtuous or unwholesome. Our particular rebirth, that as a human being, has come about independence on wholesome karma or virtuous karma, and not just a small portion, but extensive wholesome karma. In other words, a wide number of excellent causes brought about this particular rebirth that we achieved. So this is the first line, through extensive wholesome karma. So it's through the accumulation of extensive wholesome karma that we have successfully achieved this excellent life of freedom. So this is the first two lines. This term here, this life of freedom, they're two different words translated as freedom. This specific term refers to the freedom of being born as a human being, as opposed to in another realm. So it's one of, it refers to the eight freedoms which we have achieved, as well as the accompanying 10 endowments. So these 18 qualities of the freedoms and endowments comprise this precious human rebirth that we all have successfully achieved, independence on extensive, wholesome karma. And of the various rebirths, this rebirth of a precious human rebirth is by far the very best for the purpose of spiritual transformation. Having this precious human rebirth, which comprises these eight freedoms or leisures and these 10 endowments or opportunities, having this rebirth means we each have the capacity to accumulate causes that will lead to further excellent lives of freedom. Moreover, we have the capacity to cultivate the causes that will lead us to eventually attaining liberation or freedom from samsara in its entirety. And in fact, we have the capacity with this rebirth to accumulate the causes that will eventually lead to full and complete enlightenment. This is the incredible opportunity we have all achieved with this rebirth. To understand that one has achieved a precious human rebirth requires some education in the Dharma. Through the education in the Dharma, does one recognize that one has achieved these eight freedoms and these 10 endowments? Without that education, that won't even be, it won't be recognized what capacity we have, this capacity to achieve freedom or liberation. So therefore, it cannot be said that every human being has a rebirth that can be called, considered in this context, that can be considered precious. What marks out a precious human rebirth is that someone has these qualities and has recognized that they have these qualities, because it's then that they have the capacity to live a truly meaningful life. some of the qualities that are required for a rebirth to be a fully fledged precious human rebirth include that the Buddha has not appeared in our worlds and taught the Dharma, and that Dharma still abides in the world today. It abides in the continuum of realized practitioners. And not merely that it abides somewhere in the world, but it abides where we are. In other words, that we can engage in the teachings. We have the opportunity to engage in the teachings. There's a place we can go to, a teacher we can receive teachings from. And then furthermore, that we ourselves have the individual capacity to understand and comprehend those teachings and train our mind in them. So we do not suffer from some severe mental impediments. We don't suffer from some severe physical impediments that would prevent us from engaging in the teachings.
And
further, that one does not, when his mind is not deluded by severe wrong views that prevent one from engaging in the teachings. One would otherwise see the teachings as being faulty. So having the freedom of such wrong views, as well as being of a sound human body and mind, as well as being in an area where one has access to a qualified teacher, as well as the teachings, then one has a precious human rebirth.
当然，民警官一样，确实是个国宾的，没确实是没这个，但确实也国宾的没这个民警，龙巴去接的民呢，接的民警呢，那个没的，这个确实也个国好有嘛的，实际上当时呢，确实也跟买的，那确实也国没有的哇，哎，民警官呢，确实是有嘛的，上级有嘛的，是呢，今天个上大的个呢，要确实嘛的，今天 上街有买的，去有买的，甚至落单入街的呢，这里个米一些的，去街个不那个买的，甚至你可能给到可能低一点，是吧？哎，而且这个先谈谈买这个呢，这里个王婆妈烧啊的，这里我这王婆妈是对俺们全国人民的，这里是这些些码头吧，这里边米过过两百多钱吧，这米的呢，王婆车上对面买吧，这里确实也给，俺就搞不那个买的吧，就是咱米不几块的呢。
嗯，嗯，嗯，你那个，当，嗯，民营吧，几块来的，那你那个确实也搞不定的，没得干，反正就有套不接的干的，你那个，他这个都是呢，哎，我这民营吧，几块来的，你那我这个店呢，就是店里给的，确实也搞不定，比推荐上大嘛呢，就是来确实也搞不了嘛了，对面子，你到我街上，就我去上完山的，你每天吃上，但就有点菜的吃不了嘛嘞。
There'll be many of our fellow human beings who are living in a place in this world where whilst they have a fully qualified human body and mind, they live in a place where the teachings just do not exist. There are no qualified teachers and therefore they have no access to the teachings. And there are others who may be very close to a place where the Dharma abides, but they have a particular wrong views, which means they reject the Dharma. For example, they don't accept that something like the Buddhahood is possible and so forth. So they, whilst living in a place where the Dharma is accessible for them as an individual, it is not. Or for others, again, they may be living in a place where the Dharma is entirely available, but they have a severe physical or mental impediment to engaging in the Dharma. So those for whom they have all 18 characteristics. They have a fully fledged precious human rebirth. They are of great fortune. They have the capacity to radically transform the spiritual projection of themselves for lives to come. The great importance of this reflection is to come to recognize just how fortunate we are. Because we take all these good qualities that come with this particular life we have, we tend to take it for granted, seeing it as ordinary or commonplace, assuming we've had it before and we'll have it again. But rather, by engaging well in this reflection, we come to recognize how rare what we have achieved is in our world. And thereby, we develop a determination to use this life well, to not let it go to waste. If you, in your home, you have perhaps an ornament or some jewelry that's really quite expensive, you will put it somewhere secure, especially if you have young kids, because a young child will not recognize the value of this ornament or this jewelry. And the child will just see it as something to play with and perhaps lose it or break it. So because you as the adult have recognized that this is something of value, you'll put it away and take good care of it. So too with this precious human rebirth. If one takes it for granted, sees it as something ordinary or commonplace, one is like that young child. One doesn't put to use what has such value, such potential. But when one reflects well and sees just how difficult it was to achieve this rebirth, the causes that were required, and how rare it is in our world, then we'll value what we have and we'll not let it go to waste. We'll see this as an opportunity that has great value, and we'll want to use this, what remains of this life, in a meaningful way.
Some
In the first line, it says, extensive wholesome karma was required for this excellent life of freedom. So there are many causes that are required to have this life that we've each achieved. All of those causes are on the side of wholesome karma or virtuous karma. But to look at those causes in brief, in order to attain rebirth as a human being, the cause is ethics, ethical restraint. Recognizing that that is the cause that leads to rebirth as a human being, one commits to training one's mind in being ethical so as to cultivate further causes. And one develops a determination, for example, I will not harm others through killing or through stealing. I will not do or even say anything that brings harm to others. And one develops this determination so that it becomes deep within, so that the very thought of saying or acting in a way that would bring harm to someone seems repulsive to one. And this thought we develop ever more deeply within us, so it becomes ingrained and part of who we are. And this is how we experience the cultivation of the causes of ethical restraint. Furthermore, in addition to cultivating the cause of ethical restraint, which leads to the rebirth as a human being, one requires further causes. And the further cause is that of generosity. So generosity, the cultivation of the cause of generosity, ensures that in one's future rebirths, one has favorable circumstances, one has an abundance. So, for example, it's born as a human being to have an abundance of material comfort so that one is freed from a life of struggle and poverty, and one is thereby materially well off. So here one needs to cultivate the cause of generosity, developing a mind that wants to give of oneself to others.
야라마 당 군조 당 제 심지어 팬도 되지 가래 직소수기 토네 중계 조합이 진바셔고 그래서디 데네자 디지 데네기 체원 부변나 마오바나 소수기 원주 고방 미리 톱디베 딘데야 소수고행 중진 되게다 야고 죽도고 용거를 해야 돼.
So in the practice of generosity, what one is doing is primarily developing a mind wanting to give. And under the influence of that mind, then one will do so. So one can, in meditation, imagine giving, and then from this motivation, the wish to physically give will also follow. So most commonly, one will make offerings to the three jewels, offering flowers, incense, and so forth. And in particular, when the motivation is good, but certainly too, when the motivation is weak, extensive merit is accumulated. So therefore, it's very common in the text described making offerings to the images of the Buddhas and to stupas and so forth. And the very word for stupa means basis of offering, because its very purpose is to enable people to accumulate merit there. So through the making offerings of various substances, one accumulates differing causes that will lead to desired results or beneficial results in life to come. So the texts talk of, or give illustrations of, if one offers music to a stupa or a statue or praise, this then leads to having an attractive or beautiful voice in the future. And offering incense and clothing leads to having an attractive physique. And so therefore, by making offerings such as these to stupas and statues, but doing so with a good mind, creates excellent virtue that will lead to good results, desired results in lives to come. But what one gives or can give is very diverse. So one, as mentioned, can offer music, can offer incense and flowers and clothing and so forth. But one can also offer education, or education in the sense of sharing whatever knowledge you have with those who require that knowledge, or whatever skills you have, helping others to develop those skills, giving advice to those in need. If you have a Dharma education, sharing the Dharma with others. So it's this practice of generosity is looking at whatever one has in abundance, whatever skills and talents one has, and utilizing this with an attitude of wanting to give of oneself to others. In this way, one creates causes to have an abundance oneself in lives to come. The third cause required to have excellent rebirths. The first was ethics, the second was generosity. Now the third is that of patience. Patience leads to a a body where one's physical sense powers are working well. So in other words, we can see and hear and so forth. But also one has a physique which is attractive. And what that means is not mere physical beauty, but where others feel comfortable in your presence. Because the part of the result of the cause of patience is that one easily forms friendships with others. People feel very comfortable in your presence. They don't feel on guard in your presence, but are relaxed in your presence. So that's the result that follows from patience. So to understand the mind of patience, we rely on patience whenever in order to overcome anger. So anger should be understood in its broadest sense, from frustration and annoyance all the way up to rage, and arises in varying contexts, not just with other people, but towards ourselves or situations. So that's anger and in all its variety. So this we recognize quite easily. Patience, though, especially how it's understood in Buddhism, is often misunderstood. Patience, like with ethics, like with generosity and all the trainings you'll hear about, refer to a mental attitude. So a patient's attitude is a mind that is undisturbed in the face of adversity. Through one's mind being undisturbed, one will not respond in a way that brings disturbance. So, for example, one will not get angry and shout in return or physically fight with someone. But the practice of patience is not just staying silent. It's one's mind staying relaxed and spacious, no matter what one is facing. And when one's mind is relaxed and spacious, wisdom can shine through, and one can respond skillfully. One can respond with love and with compassion and deal with the situation in a skillful manner. That is the practice of patience. And the motivation, ideally, to cultivate the patience, as with generosity and ethics, is recognizing that all these virtuous desired results will enable one to help others ever more, to be of ever more benefit to others. So if one is experiencing the results of having been patient in the past and people easily get on with you, one's physique is attractive, the purpose of this is so that one can easily form wholesome, meaningful relationships and be of benefit to others.
就我去嘛，在那个，但没见，在电上不没有托，因为俺那电电里啊，听也吃上唱哇，听也吃在唱哇有吧？就因为说是个，就有其他那那王宝吃上唱哇的，在那个学习的电吧学呗呢，但电里啊，学习比给俺娃那个那个嘛了，就说他学习啊，俺学习个搞不来个，断掉个具体个效果是呢，俺这个尊重什么的些的，俺这呀，那尊重什么的，别尊重什么的。 年龄前去确实的呀，俺就看上了那些的，别人养活了是没看上那些的，哎，目的的是给你身边什么的年龄前什么的了，那给予教娃了呀，看上那些干的，俺的别养活的是这个目的的是给身边什么办的，最对些个的，你的那个什么学问呢？你给了就我起码的了呀，说句，养确实那个过好不来，确实确的对你有吧？
And in addition to ethics, generosity, patience, a fourth indispensable cause in order for one's future lives and future Dharma practice to go well is that of enthusiastic perseverance or joyous perseverance. The result of this is that in future lives, one will have a natural yearning for the Dharma. One will seek it out. Even if one is not in an environment where it is all around you, you will seek it out. And to develop enthusiastic perseverance, it comes about through having an enthusiasm towards virtue in general and the Dharma in particular. And so this is the attitude of enthusiasm, and the perseverance is the continuing to engage over an extensive period, not in a haphazard way. So to developing this enthusiasm for the Dharma, for virtue in general, as well as perseverance, is creating a cause that in future lives, we will naturally seek out an ethical path, in particular that of the Dharma. The fifth cause here is that of prayer. So prayer is important, and one makes prayer in relation to, or you can maybe here then express it as dedication, where when one accumulates virtue, dedicating this virtue in a specific way, that in future lives, may I always come under the direct care of a spiritual teacher, in particular, a spiritual teacher who can skillfully guide me to cultivate the complete and unmistaken path within. A spiritual teacher who possesses all the required qualities and who has the skill to guide me perfectly in accordance with my own personality. So making such prayer is important because it will make bring about that in our future lives, we are not born far from our teachers. And we, when we meet our teacher, we connect with them quickly and easily, recognizing this being as being someone special, as being someone to rely on.
On the thing,
We see here in the second verse, through extensive wholesome karma, you have successfully achieved this excellent life of freedom. So the extensive wholesome karma that in the past lives we accumulated and whose results we are enjoying in this life is precisely these five causes I've mentioned now, that in particular of ethical restraint, which led to one being born again as a human being. And then in addition, the causes of generosity, which have led to our material situation, in particular in a country such as this. And then that our patience, so that we have complete sense faculties and that we can easily get on with others. And then fourthly, that of enthusiastic perseverance, where we have a yearning for something more than the material, that we seek some meaning in life. And when we find it, we embrace it. And then finally, that of prayers to have encounters such as these, where we meet the Dharma and the Dharma touches us. So these are the causes that are required for a fully fledged precious human rebirth, an excellent life of freedom with the eight freedoms and the 10 endowments.
That 那你就忙不那地用过来，现在的呢，你生活多就忙，一百天了。民生工作开了那边呢，嗯，得了六百九万香港元，就是那的民生工作开了那边呢，是，大家的那个电力或许住处也电开发，像俺们旅店的业主，有的也是，其实旅店的呀，叫我起码当俺们叫我打的那些叫我起码给电力了呀，俺那是个温州国宝，民用温州国宝，特电力了，去年车上差哇，俺那是个温州差哇，俺自己的电吧。 俺是去往过厂哇，俺实习在电吧，俺是去年的就过后，车上连续六天，第二个特过个热的，拆掉了呀。俺那家里电就过后有一点拆了呀。俺那白别些些年没接过了，也是别两个就给宁波宁波年没接过，不是宁波什么大？第二个俺那拆掉了，拆掉了什么大都是，人家拆了给第一那，都是呢，什么大就都是的。第二，当我就过后，他也就这么什么大呢？第二个就是俺就先把大家做什么做什么怎么样？
To understanding what we each have done in order to have such an excellent life of freedom, the verse continues, now that you have gained such a life, if you do not strive in virtue every day and each night. So here Lama Tsongkhapa is saying, look at what you've achieved. It didn't come about easily. It came about independence on great effort that you made in lives previous to this. So now recognizing that you are experiencing the results of the causes you created in the past, do so again. Do so again. Accumulate the causes of ethics, generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, and make prayer so that your future lives continue to go as well as this life is. In other words, so that you continue to have ongoing opportunities for spiritual development in lives to come. So Lama Tsongkhapa is inviting us that we must strive each and every day and night to accumulate virtue. To accumulate virtue meaning to cultivate an ethical mind, a generous attitude, a patient outlook, as well as enthusiasm for such virtue. So this is what we're being encouraged to engage in repeatedly, because if we don't, then this precious opportunity that this life presents will be wasted, and we will not achieve an opportunity like this again.
对吧？他们这得了罪，对吧？现在话，就算对吧？他们这些对的，对吧？他们这彻底的记得，给我去蒙蒙的过吧？他把他们这给没过过，特别给他们这是南京街吧？那些人们街吧？那你得给得来了，我去出土的是哪路啊？接着的，得了呀！人们街吧？那些结果的是就得了出土的才的，接着的人生工作给我们呗呢？接着人生工作必须结果的，人们就都是必须，真的是必须结果的，是。
今天这边那这些，那给我去蒙古那边也不出土的噻，就，俺今那些，俺在那个店里呀，那个旅店车上待遇店上不过不吃啥，有的给，给个店里呀，也别对，有别店里呀，哎，我就怎么也把它，他那边过房拖下来，可以动啊，他在那住着，他别过房拖下来，你们那这边呢，拆掉了，俺那都是你们那些呢，拆结果的，就在底下，你在屋里也不是人过来噻，俺两年是人过来是过来。
现在的伢们做来的，搞的什么这些新的，你进吧，出去这进吧，出去什么进去，进去也不接。那地讲了，伢们那些地讲了，开始写我了什么，三代定一层是吧？新的住下的嘞，俺那新的住那的呢，大面包都别大面些的，都别写了不得，嗯，写了别些，你搞没得的，第一的，那去第一搞没得，接着他工作的了，搞说哦，可以动啊的，可以动啊的，起码他们他们都这样。 可以动啊！来，他屋都身边，刚刚他们这里住屋都身边，什么大些，别这边他们那呀，俺那个人们结营什么的，俺人们结的干什么？进不住就不住那些，俺这个呢，新年住大面不定一层住，定一新年住，那新年定住那的东西，大面不，大面写的别些，那大面不，都别写的，没别写了，送这住些，定人们结活，定人们结完呢，彻底了呀，就那结土了的，过后有点上不定些，就在定那个人们结的。
Let's look at a bit of the first verse together with what we're looking at here in the second verse. So in the first verse, it says, your every wish will be bestowed with ease. Your every wish refers to ongoing excellent rebirths, like we've achieved now, but in lives to come. That those wishes can be fulfilled now that we recognize that we have achieved this excellent life of freedom. But not only that wish, but also the wishes to attain liberation and enlightenment. These too can be attained on independence on this excellent life of freedom. So therefore, recognizing this, we should strive every day and each night in the cultivation of virtue. And the virtue refers to those four primary causes of ethics, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. These are indispensable to have ongoing excellent rebirths. They are also indispensable to progress towards liberation and enlightenment. For them to become causes that lead to liberation and enlightenment, one requires a stronger motivation, a motivation of definite emergence, a motivation where one has come to recognize that cyclic existence or samsara itself is an abode of suffering, that there is no pleasure that's worthwhile, happiness that's worthwhile that can be found within samsara, and thereby one gives rise to a wish for freedom. Then with this mind of definite emergence, where one is definite about wanting to emerge from the suffering of samsara, or renunciation, where one wants to renounce the sufferings of samsara, then cultivating ethics, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance become causes for liberation. And in addition then, when one's heart is set on attaining liberation from suffering, one requires two further causes. And these further causes are firstly, a powerful concentrated mind, a mind that is able to meditate without distraction for as long as one wishes, penetrating each topic deeply. And the topic one in particular will need to penetrate deeply is the sixth cause. Concentration was the fifth. The sixth cause is that of the wisdom realizing selflessness or the wisdom realizing emptiness. So for those who want to gain liberation from samsara, they have to strive to accumulate virtue every day and each night. It is indispensable to have one's mind committed to cultivating virtue in order to achieve those lofty goals.
三月过后特别切多，你的另外一些会在现在六百几个面是春风呀，这个我们要针对这面前面你们家，你大面不特别，新年的大面对些人你们家，你切多，现在你们切的，按照点点的你们现在切多要过后不要了，就是过后有一点点了呀，那你用点也的切，不就是你们这别的是你们切五月是不的，你全部都给那边写的。
In the first verse, we're talking about every wish. Mentioned that there are three wishes. There's a wish for ongoing excellent rebirths. And now it's been mentioned that those require four indispensable causes. Second wish is that for liberation from samsara in its entirety. That, the attainment of that requires a different motivation, a motivation of definite emergence. And then with such a motivation, those same four causes, but with concentration and wisdom included, now become causes that will lead to liberation. But there was a third wish referred to in the first verse, and that is to attain Buddhahood, to attain full and complete enlightenment. To attain enlightenment requires those same causes, the four that are required, the four of ethics, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, as well as those additional two of concentration and the wisdom of realizing selflessness. So those same causes are required in order to become a Buddha, but the motivation needs to be developed further. So these motivations come about sequentially. So having generated definite emergence, there's the determination for oneself to gain freedom from samsara. Having developed that, one lifts one's gaze from one's own suffering here in samsara, and recognizes that all those around you, everyone around you, is suffering in the same way. Recognizing that they too are bound in these suffering realms for the same reason as you, and they, like you, yearn to be free. So here, one adds to one's motivation, developing compassion for others, wanting them to be freed of suffering, and freed of the causes of suffering. And one cultivates love, wanting them to abide in lasting happiness. One develops this love and compassion further to the point where it arises as bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is the indispensable motivation that is required to become a Buddha. Bodhicitta has two key aspects. The wish, or where one takes responsibility oneself to guide beings to gain a state freed of suffering. That's the fulfillment of the wish of compassion, and to attain a state of lasting happiness. That's the fulfillment of the mind of love. And in order to do so, now, the second aspect of bodhicitta, one recognizes that one has to become the most skilled of guides, a Buddha. So here one commits to becoming a Buddha in order to lead all beings to a state freed of suffering. This then is the motivation of a bodhisattva. This practitioner now is committed of becoming a Buddha for the sake of others. With this motivation of bodhicitta, they engage in those same six practices, those practices of generosity, of ethics, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration and wisdom, but now conjoined with the love and compassion of bodhicitta.
这个还没过啊，说说这个，这个过好生活的嘞嘛，对吧？说说这个过好当晚拿心，过好些物出来吧，吃过来这，这里有本就话香港有，其实这里那个话吃吧，这里他把这有好嘛嘞，其实这，哎嘛是用钱不当，过好些物天天说说用些物来过嘞，其实这里是，你买些本呢，别拿着他的电台里呀，这里个我们就过把土也给，其实你们这土也有吧的，这里买些，这里那这个他就过把土也给，你们这土也有吧的，这买些，这什么些他啥就过把土也给，其实你们这土也有吧的，电商部的你土也有吧的，这里过好比例个了，买些本呢，你们说说这个，这个还没过啊，说说这个，这里个过好生活的嘞嘛，对吧？说说这个在过好些物出来吧，吃过来这，这里有本就话香港，这里他别给他讲了呀，当。
So whichever motivation one has cultivated, whether it's to fulfill the wish for further excellent rebirth, or to fulfill the wish for liberation from samsara, or to fulfill the wish to become a Buddha for the sake of others, whichever motivation one has, one should strive to cultivate those virtuous causes every day and each night. And if one doesn't, there can be the fourth line of the second verse, there can be no greater betrayal. Because having recognized just the very potential that we all possess, to not fulfill this potential, such a great loss. And we would end up betraying ourselves, deceiving ourselves. This is so sad. We should recognize just what we can achieve and utilize this life in the most meaningful way. Recognize what has value, what has meaning, and put our effort there, put our energy there. So here Lama Tsongkhapa is saying to us in the second verse that you, just like me, have attained a precious human rebirth, and yours, just like mine, came about independence on causes. And those causes are ethics, generosity, patience, enthusiastic perseverance, and prayer. You accumulated those causes in lives previous to this, and now you are enjoying that result. Recognizing this, put it to good use. Don't let this opportunity go to waste. Accumulate those same causes again with the confidence knowing that you can do it because you have done it in lives previous to this. And moreover, develop your motivation for a goal even greater. Develop your motivation to gain liberation from samsara in its entirety. And if you can, develop that motivation to lead others to that same goal as well, to that same liberated state as well. And develop and then accumulate those causes that are required to attain liberation and enlightenment. Developing this determination in your heart is the very meaning of living a meaningful life. And strive to cultivate these virtuous causes every day and each night. Do not deceive yourself. Do not betray yourself. Do not let this excellent opportunity go to waste, but you live this life well. Use this opportunity well.
So
We all need to sustain our body, but in terms of bringing about lasting happiness, it's really our mind we need to focus on. So you'll recognize that Buddhist training refers to training the mind. This is where the focus on sustain the body, but train the mind, put your energy, your attention into your own mind. So a simple meditation I encourage you to do each morning, maybe you can do it in 10 minutes, is when you've woken up and maybe you've had a cup of tea and you're a little alert, you go to your room or a quiet place in your home. Perhaps you have a Buddha image there with an actual statue or just a picture. And you stand there for a moment, feel the presence of their omniscient mind. And when you feel their presence, then you can make some simple offerings. You can put some flowers before the image or light some incense. And you can imagine that you're making a vast, expansive offering. The sky is filled with billowing incense and flowers. And then perhaps sit down or remain standing, whatever is comfortable for you, and make the commitment. Today, I will not harm anyone. I will, at the very least, physically bring no harm to others. I'll make this commitment. And I'll take care with my speech too, not to speak in a way that brings harm to others. And to the extent I can, I'll take care of my mind. That's the training in ethics. When you make this commitment, if an emotional response arises within you, Then stop. Rest with that. Place your mind with that emotional response. This is important. This is you familiarizing yourself with this ethical commitment. I will not harm others. And then one can move on and move back to that of generosity. And now one's already offered incense and flowers, but one can imagine doing so again and offering other things on a level of imagination. And where one has other capacities, such as skills and talents, make the aspiration where I can help others today, I will help them. I will help them with their challenges and difficulties in life. I'll give of myself where I can. And again, if there's an emotional response arises, abide with that. Then the third training, that of patience. Here, it can be very useful to think of specific examples, as with other reflections, but certainly with patience. Think about challenges you may experience in the day ahead. Develop the commitment. I will take care of my mind, and I'll try not to respond with anger or frustration or annoyance. And think of situations, perhaps, where either you are likely to meet someone that you find a challenging or a difficult situation you may be in, and develop the determination. I'll take care of my mind and try and keep my mind spacious and relaxed and have a loving, caring attitude towards the person I'm with. And the fourth mind is that of enthusiastic perseverance. So yeah, generate joy at feeling how fortunate you are to have met the Dharma, to have not only met the Dharma, but have sufficient faith in the teachings that you are spending just these few minutes cultivating the Dharma in your heart, and develop the determination, I will continue to do so every morning. And wherever I can, I'll put more time into cultivating the Dharma within. And I will do this for lifetimes until I attain freedom from suffering. And then finally, one makes some prayers, dedicating the virtue accumulated. And one can and should dedicate in a wide number of ways, but specifically in this context, dedicate so that in all future lives, may at a young age come under the direct care of my spiritual teacher. May I recognize him or her as such, recognize him or her as having these extensive qualities, and rely on their guidance, receive their guidance, accept it, rely on it, and strive to cultivate it within. May I do this in each and every life until lasting freedom is attained. So in the way that I've just presented that meditation, it can take you 5-10 minutes, no more than that. If you can do more time, that's fine. But just spend a few minutes every day. In this way, you'll start to develop a habit to engage in meditation on a daily basis.
で、ね、シャリア、ジンバタミン、センビゲタ、ドシャ、サムタニャム、サムタニャム。で、ね、サムタ、チョイジリア、アンチゲ、タマ、カンレシェブネシェン、ユニバー、カレシェブネパー、ニューレン、ジュネチ、セパー、ペンビ、サムマド、ニューレン、ジュネチ、ペンビゲ、ツルネバチブネパー、リエンディレ、ペンビ、ジェ、レンチケアマド、ニューベチャワ、サウジ、ジギメ、センビゲ、ネゲ、サムタネ、シェバチェ。で、ね、ガランが、ディネーブコーラーペアコレスンビ、ネガランが、ジニアムレチアで、ジュンジュシェクロワ。アンディナーシン、ダディレハバで、ジュンダダ、センディディネーアドケ、ジェジニビ、ディネーティコミアラソバ。ディネーコミア、ディネー、アンジェゲ、アン、ドダメバトビギシェラプトサンバディ、ジェチモチャゴレ。ジダディネーガン、マジュベダディネーズナ、ジェディネーズナ、ダメブトシェラコマドベネ、
だって、ジンバツルーズバツルー、ツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジンバツルーディケ、ジ
In addition to the meditation just described, you can make it into a meditation whereby you accumulate the causes not only for further acts and rebirths, but actually the causes that will lead to enlightenment. So to do so, I'll describe the meditation. It's very similar to what has just been presented, but it's enhanced a bit at the beginning and the end. So one sets up your offerings in the same way, and even if it's very simple, you just have an image of the Buddha, even just a photo, and you place a flower before it or some incense, whatever you are able to set up as an offerings. But then you develop a motivation of recognizing that in the same way that I just want to be happy, so too do all beings. In the same way that I do not want to experience a single problem, suffering, or difficulty, nor does any being. So on a fundamental basis, we are all exactly the same. All other differences, for example, in terms of personality and gender and so forth, these are superficial. The fundamental basis, we are all the same. So in the same way that I want to be free of suffering and I don't want others to harm me, I am going to help others gain freedom from suffering, and I will not harm them either directly or indirectly. But to be able to really help others to attain the same state that I long for, a state freed of suffering, I have to become the most skilled of guides. I have to become a Buddha. So therefore, I commit to training to become a Buddha for the sake of others. I commit to training to become a Buddha so that I can guide others to attain a state freed of suffering. So there we generate our motivation. And then one engages in the meditation as described. One starts with ethics, developing the determination. I will not harm any being. I recognize that they, like me, do not want to be harmed physically or spoken to in an unkind manner or even thought of in a bad way. Therefore, I commit to not physically acting in a way that will bring harm to others or trying not to speak in a way that will bring harm to others and doing what I can to restrain my mind from thinking unkind thoughts. And secondly, in terms of generosity, I will give of myself to others in order to ease their suffering. Wherever I have a skill or a talent or a capacity or material resources, wherever I have abundance in this way, I will use it to benefit others, to ease their suffering, to bring them happiness. The third training, that of patience, that these other people whom I recognize as being of wanting happiness, just like I do, I will care for them. And when I will care for them, not only when they are interacting with me in a way that I like, but I'll care for them in their times of greatest need, when their mind is most disturbed, even if they are taking it out on me or a loved one of mine. I will care for others. I'll treat them with kindness and respect and dignity, no matter how disturbed their mind is. I will keep my mind at peace and respond with kindness, care, and wisdom. So this way we train in patience. Then one generates joy at this opportunity, recognizing that it's through engaging in this meditation and then living out one's day under the influence of this meditation that one is making a meaningful impact on others, as well as spiritually developing. And one commits here to persevere in this training, to continue, to not do so sporadically or only when one has an abundance of free time, but make this a central component to one's life. And then there are the additional trainings of concentration and wisdom. And if thus far, whenever you feel the mind of ethics or generosity or patience and joyous perseverance arising within you, if you rest with that, this is starting to develop your concentration. And wisdom is also an indispensable training, but we'll come to that later. And then one ends with prayer or dedication, where here the dedication is similar to before, but one includes that the reason for wanting ongoing excellent rebirths and to be under the care of one's spiritual teacher so that one can develop spiritually into a Buddha for the sake of others. And one has as its one sincere commitment the wish for ongoing good rebirths, to be under the ongoing care of one's spiritual teachers, and to make ongoing efforts in the Dharma in order to be of real meaningful impact on the lives of others. So this then is how to do that same meditation in an enhanced manner, and thereby create the causes for not only ongoing excellent rebirths, but to attain enlightenment itself.
What I've just described is a brief meditation, simple and easy to do, and quick meditation. So this word meditation, it has a particular context of being seated in a particular posture in a very quiet environment. And this is very useful to engage in meditation. But this word actually means habituation or familiarization. So you heard from our first talk this morning that the very meaning of Buddhist practice is to train one's mind. And so training one's mind means developing habituation. Developing habituation to wholesome ways of thinking, virtuous ways of thinking, and breaking our habituation to unwholesome or non-virtuous ways of thinking. So this is the process of meditation, is developing virtuous habituations and breaking non-virtuous habituations. And it is a mental process because we're training our mind. And whatever we do, whether we are sitting quietly like now, or we're going about
at the busy activities of our life. Our mind is involved, our mind is present, which means we have the opportunity to train our mind in any circumstance. We have the opportunity to develop habituations to virtuous ways of thinking in each and every opportunity, not solely when we're sitting in a particular posture without sound and distraction around us. So I encourage you to take this final point to heart. Formal meditation is indispensable to develop our habituation to wholesome minds, but so too is taking this way of thinking into our daily life. So at first, take it to where you have quiet moments alone. And this could be whilst you're doing tasks, but it's a task that for you is very repetitive. You've done it many times. You do not need to be conscious or attentive to what you are doing. Then recall the meditation and do the whole thing or parts of it again. And even if it's just a few seconds, but many times in the day, this strengthens your habituation. Then the habituation to wholesome minds comes about very quickly. And through that, then, for example, as you are driving to work, you'll see someone's garden and you'll recognize the flowers are in bloom. And spontaneously, you'll offer these to the Buddhas. When you encounter challenging circumstances, spontaneously, you recall your training of ethics and your training of patience, and you'll commit to responding in a skillful manner. So by taking your formal meditation or development of habituation and taking that to the quieter times in your day, you'll quickly develop your habituations and your spiritual training will bear fruit quickly. So for those who are fortunate enough to travel to work by bus or train or tram, you have plenty of time on your commute to sit quietly and do this meditation. Because all that goes on around you, other than your particular stop, the rest of it is not particularly important. And you can engage in this reflection again and again. But for those of you who drive here and there, drive to work and elsewhere, then perhaps take more care, rather be attentive to your driving. But if you stopped at a traffic light, instead of being frustrated thinking about whether you'll get to your destination on time, return to your meditation. And then when the light changes, go back to being aware of your route and being aware of the traffic around you. But in this way, you'll find there are many quiet moments in the day where you are doing things that require no particular attention. Then take your mind back to what you are meditating on. So thank you then. We'll conclude there for this afternoon. Thank you.